Don't panic. For the next hour, let Steve and Paul talk you down from that ledge, right here on RFI. They're the host who won't cop out when there's panic all about.
You see me coming, better step aside. A lot of men didn't, and a lot of men died. One fist made of iron, the other one steel. If the left one don't get you, then the right one will. Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. My name is Steve Vinson. Sitting right over there is Paul Schultz.
Hey, everybody.
Don't forget, nothing you're about to hear is true. So, we haven't actually recorded in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And the last time we recorded, we were in a room full of people.
Mm-hmm.
For the super live, amazing, awesome, fantastic, fabulous birthday bash. So the last time I was sitting here in the studio talking with you would have been 3 weeks ago.
Right.
Now that's weird.
That's a lot of time.
Because as far as our listeners are concerned, it's just the blink of an eye.
Or the click of a mouse. Or whatever, or whatever it is on a phone.
Yeah. So about a month ago, I don't know, a month and a half, I took the kids and the wife, not just any wife, the wife.
The wife.
To see Star Wars, The Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave some opinions of it without, like, revealing too much, I think.
Yeah.
I didn't want to spoiler anything. So... spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Everybody, if you haven't seen The Force Awakens,
fast forward about 20 minutes.
Yeah, and in 20 minutes we'll tell you whether or not you can still listen.
We should, at the sound of the tone, fast forward 20 minutes.
Better yet, hit pause, run out and see The Force Awakens, and then come back and hit play.
It's on DVD and Blu-ray now. So my thing is, it's been like 4 or 5 months, so like you said earlier, you know, if we reveal anything, that's your fault that you didn't know it already. You know.
Forrest Whitaker's girlfriend has a dick, all right? There. If you haven't seen The Crying Game, then
I'm thinking, wait, which version of The Force Awakens did I watch?
Is Forrest Whitaker in that? he played one of the aliens at the bar.
He's got the fucked up eye alien. He's got
So you know, if you haven't seen The Crying Game, that's on you.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you saw it recently?
Yeah,
along with a bunch of other movies.
Yep.
So let's talk a little Star Wars. For those of you who aren't familiar with the Star Wars, what do you call it? It's not a franchise, is it?
No, at this point, it's a franchise.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah. If you make more than one movie, it becomes a franchise.
Sort of like the Avatar franchise is a franchise without having more than one movie.
Yeah.
Just because James Cameron keeps saying there are going to be more movies.
Just like they keep saying there's going to be a Justice League movie. That's never going to happen.
It's almost like you were at dinner tonight with me and my family. I mean...
What did we have?
Yeah, what did we have? Eggs.
No, it's never going to happen. They keep trying, but it's never going to happen.
Why not? What's so hard about a Justice League? I can make it.
That,
if they can have Batman fighting Superman and Captain America fighting Robert Downey Jr., they can make a Justice League movie.
You know this, and I know this, and moviegoers know this, but Warner Brothers doesn't know this.
I almost said Captain America fighting Morton Downey Jr., which would be like smoking a cigarette going, "I'm Iron Man." anyway, or I guess more recently it would be like smoking a cigarette,
I'm Iron Man. But I digress. Okay, for those of you not familiar with the Star Wars franchise, it's about this kid grows up in the desert, doesn't know who his parents are, so he's sort of like disadvantaged. All right, so this disadvantaged kid, and he's sort of disillusioned and disenfranchised, sees his parents killed, right? This Luke guy sees his parents killed, gets pissed off at the government, becomes a terrorist, leads a bunch of terrorists to destroy the government's primary weapon. I think that's kind of the first Star Wars, right? And then the second one was more like, so the government is on a war against terror, and they're fighting this asymmetric warfare against the basically Al Qaeda, right? And instead of Osama bin Laden, it's Luke Skywalker, and so they're attacking him, and the government's kind of winning, but then the terrorists start to. So it's sort of like the government strikes back. So you got a sucker punch in the first movie, sort of like 9/11, but then sort of like Iraq and Afghanistan, the government like finally gets its shit together and is fighting back, right? That's called The Empire Strikes Back. Then the third movie, I don't know if anybody really knows what it was about, other than somehow the Death Star that was supposedly destroyed in the first movie somehow shows up again, and they have destroyed that by enlisting the help of little furry people.
And this time it's personal.
And I think, don't they bring the government down in that one? Somehow the government dumbasses put all their eggs in one Death Star basket. And just fucking the terrorists won.
Literally. You got Star Wars fans going out of their minds.
Getting wrong? I mean, which part's inaccurate? I don't know.
It's all about perspective.
Oh, I know what it is. Whoa. I know what it is. The binding force for the terrorist people is this ancient religion that they supposedly like they're fighting in the name of, or maybe the religion helps them, and the government is like, there are people in the government who are like, hey, it's not the religion, it's the terrorists. And but then there's one person in the government who's part of that religion, and he's the one who has the most success, but in the end he gets his shit fucked up too. And then the furry people show up and help destroy the government weapon again. I think we're caught up, except for...
That is the most accurate description of the series I've ever heard.
Except there's something I left out, which is after all this happens, somehow everybody goes through a time warp all the way back to when Yoda was younger, yet he still looks like old as hell somehow, but he was a lot younger. And we see Luke Skywalker's dad is born, and he seems pretty happy.
The only way I can figure is Yoda, between the prequels and the original movies, Yoda must have broke a hip, because only like 20 years passed, and somehow he went from this dude who could flip around with a lightsaber and fight, you know, Christopher Lee, to this guy who could barely get out of bed. So I think at some point in that 20-year span, he must have broke a hip, and which laid him up. Because I don't see, you know, if he lived like 900 years, the last 20 is just like, it's like don't live to be 900. Kill yourself at like, you know, 898. Because the last couple are.
I think he was banished to that cave on that cave planet, and found meth.
You know. Or the humidity got to his bones, because there's a lot of humidity on that planet.
I wonder if that was the same planet that Spock was banished to by the Romulans. Remember, that was a pretty shitty planet, too.
MP's head has officially exploded at this point. You can't combine Star Wars and Star Trek. It's not.
Luke Skywalker versus
It's like
William
the Rolling
Shatner.
Stones or the Beatles.
Okay, so the first three, I think we can agree, don't really matter. I'm meaning the second three. The prequel.
The prequels. Yes.
And then...
Yes.
So now, George Lucas has decided to get help, because he's getting old.
Run, bitches, get help.
Get help. And so now they've embarked upon an actual sequel trilogy, the first of which is called The Force Awakens, which takes place mm-hmm. some 30 years after the terrorists took over the government. Right?
Yeah, right. Exactly, okay. Yes.
So then we get to find out what happens next.
Why didn't the rebels all have big beards?
I always thought that was what was up with Obi-Wan Kenobi. I thought he was the...
That's true.
All right, so what was your take? We've all heard my take on The Force Awakens. We may not remember it, but we are care to remember it. But what was your take on The Force Awakens?
Well, the interesting thing is, I told... You know, I've said this before, that when the original Star Wars New Hope came out, it was like 4 months before I went to go see it in the theaters. That's how long that movie... And then it continued to play for several more months because I saw it a couple more times. Well, in keeping with that tradition, I waited 4 months because it came out like around Christmas time. I waited 4 months to see it, but I had to see it this time on DVD. And because I just... Originally, when I first started seeing the... You know, when they started milking the teasers and whatnot, I was like, you know, Disney paid Lucas a fuck ton of money. And I think I even said this on the show. Paid them a fuck ton of money. They're not going to fuck this up. Everybody was like, oh, God, Disney will fuck it up. Well, no. No, they won't, because they spent too much money. The investment is too high to fuck it up. And then we started getting like inundated with Star Wars Force Awakens trailers, teasers. It was everywhere. And I immediately go the opposite direction of whatever everybody tells me I have to do, you know? And so I started to like, yeah, whatever.
You have
whatever.
To not it's blow me. Movie. Come on, man, hurry up.
Anyway, so I bit the bullet and
that's
you know
what I call it,
finally saw it. That's right. I finally saw it and I fucking loved it. I loved it so much that like the only I loved it so much that like I wanted to put my dick in it. No.
If it's going to be that kind of party, I'm going to put my dick in the mashed potatoes.
I'm going to put my dick in the Force Awakens. No, the only way I would have loved this movie more is if it would have been called A New Hope. Because it's the same fucking movie. It is the same goddamn movie as A New Hope. Just with a little bit of changes here and there, which I didn't fucking care. I was like... But what kills me, J.J. Abrams, the director, also directed, like the Star Trek movies, the new reboots of the Star Trek movies, and like about a third of the way through the second movie of the Star Trek movies, I'm like, this is goddamn Wrath of Khan. What the fuck is going on? I mean, nobody warned me. I wouldn't have wasted my time on it. I hated it. I absolutely hated it. But then when I'm like watching Force Awakens and I'm like, this is A New Hope. Then I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I get what he's doing, because this is like, all right, for the kids that never saw it, kind of a springboard. But what they did was they were self-aware of the fact that it's what it was. You know, Han Solo, there's always a way to blow it up, right? There's a way to lower the shields. You know, it's like, they were like self-aware of what they were doing with this movie. I mean, I fucking loved it. I thought the girl is that girl is gonna go places. You watch, she's gonna be bigger than the chick from the Hunger Games. She's gonna go places. The only thing that really bugged me about that movie was like every time Kylo Ren took his helmet off, I'm like, put your fucking helmet back on, because his face like hurt me to look at it. It was all weird. I'm like, and there's no way that little bitty helmet fit on that big head. But I fucking loved it. I mean, it was like, I don't know. I thought start to finish, you know, the whole what got me, because I've watched it twice now. What got me was about halfway through the second screening, because you know, we're exclusive. The second time I watched it, Atticus watched it with me. And I'm like, you know what? This movie, aside from the multitude of things that was wrong with the prequels, this movie, what this movie has, how this movie beats those movies on this level is it recaptured the sense of humor those movies had. The New Hope and all those, there was funny shit in those movies, you know? There was witty banter. There was great back and forth dialogue. There was physical comedy. All that stuff was in the original trilogy. None of that was in the prequels. So that's just one more nail in the coffin of why the prequels sucked. In my humble, what do they say? As I experienced them. But dude, Force Awakens, I'm just like, okay, what's next? You know, I want to know what happens next. I can't get away from it. That I love that the female character, the lead character in that movie. She was so good at what she did, and I'm like thinking, why the fuck is she like, okay, I get she's a scavenger and knows shit. But why does she know every fucking thing? And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. She spent, like, her entire life scavenging off of that Star Destroyer. So, of course, she's going to know this technology because it's similar to that. You know, little things that I was trying to find ways to tear it apart, and I just couldn't. So, I loved it. I thought it was really, really well done.
So, 5 out of 5 stars?
I'll give it 4.5. Because only Pootie Tang gets 5 out of 5.
Pootie Tang.
Yeah. And the reason why it gets so many stars is because I did not expect it to be that good.
Ah, it's an expectations game.
I think MP, didn't he love it too?
Well, I put you guys in the same category of coolness. I mean, you guys, you like stuff you're supposed to like, and you don't like stuff you're not supposed to like. So you're good to go as far as that goes.
Well, now I hate that movie.
You're like, suddenly, I'm conflicted. I'm supposed to like it, so I better hate it. But if I hate it, then I'm...
Well, there were a couple of things that... It was... I could nitpick things that I didn't like, but I think that's become a thing now. Have you noticed that? We have to nitpick a movie to pieces. We have
people
to tear down a movie.
People can't just sit back and enjoy the damn movie.
No, we can't do that anymore. We have to. Well, because there's so what it is. There's so many people on like YouTube and whatnot who will analyze to the nth degree a 15-second teaser trailer. It's like, shut the fuck up. You know, just give it to the goddamn movie comes out and go see it. You know. When the superhero movies that come out, because as I said before, I pretty much got burned out on them, but I'm starting to not so much anymore. But when the superhero movies come out, when I know they're all right, like okay, Civil War comes out in May, I've shut down all of my like if I even see the word, I shut it down because I don't want to get over saturated by it. What's out there right now. I want to see it, you know, because we can't do that anymore. We can't You know, I remember when I saw New Hope, all I knew was everybody in school saw it, thought it was awesome, and I didn't really know what it was about. I knew it was some kind of space movie, and my little brother and I went to go see it, and that was the point in our lives where
they were set upon a course from which you would never turn.
Yes. Well, my friend Mike and I, we've talked about it, how like in our generation we have like before Star Wars and after Star
BSW.
Wars.
BSW.
It's like BSW. Yeah. It's a thing. It's a real thing. And I would like to think that the kid in me would like to think that Force Awakens would be that for the kids today. But unfortunately, most kids are spoiled little fuckers who will, you know, forget everything in, you know, three months.
Get off my lawn.
There is nothing new under the sun, but under the small green fourth moon of Yavin, there is quite a different story. Director George Lucas and 20th Century Fox present Star Wars. Luke Skywalker is on a daring mission to rescue a beautiful princess, and all he needs is a little help from his friends. Han Solo, space pirate, and Chewie, his giant Wookiee, C-3PO, human relations cyborg, and his counterpart R2-D2, and the mysterious Jedi Knight. Never before in the history of movies has so much time and technology been spent just for fun. Star Wars. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What the president proposed this evening could lead to one of the most radical turnabouts of our time in strategic nuclear policy, and we will spend most of this broadcast trying to put that extraordinary proposal into some kind of perspective. But when the president went on television this evening to talk about the Soviet military buildup and the need for an increased U.S. defense budget, he was doing so within minutes of a decisive rejection by the House of Representatives. They had just cut his proposed defense spending increase by more than half. So the president tonight was talking not only about his adversaries overseas, but those here at home, too. And when his proposal for a space-age defense system against Soviet ballistic missiles gets a full airing, the controversy is going to get bigger and certainly more complicated.
Today's events have you in an uproar. Don't panic. It's Steve and Paul to the rescue.
Here's a little note I wrote myself. So, just so you know, this is me in the car writing a note by using the voice to speech to text feature. And here's how it came out. Recipe segment on Don't Panic Radio Show, starting with the Super Bowl, meaning we've already done that. And now we can bring it back with bad diet, no fat, THADPH, a BP, is in puppy H, as in Halo, a apple, D's.
Sarate.
Maybe if I said it really fast, I would know what I was trying to say.
Yeah, yeah, say it back into your Etsy when it translates.
And now we can bring it back with, I think it was supposed to be fad, P-H-A-D, fad diet.
Right.
A BP is in puppy H, as in Halo Apple D's.
Oh, Mama D.
Anyway, welcome back to the show. Paul and I are now refreshed and refilled and revitalized. And now we're ready. See, another word. See, I did another word that starts with R-E, only... Not re, it's ready. to talk about movies some more. So, before we move off of the Star Wars franchise, saw the trailer for Rogue One. I thought that looked pretty good. It's supposedly takes place sometime between the last prequel and the and A New Hope.
Right.
One thing I learned was, well, at some point they show Harrison Ford with a cape. And immediately I get the impression that he's some sort of royalty or some sort of authority figure, which would make sense because he knocked up the queen,
right?
Or the princess, who becomes queen.
Yes.
Right. Queen, what's her name?
Queen Latifah.
Queen Latifah. So what occurred to me was all it took was a cape, right? And no matter how... far away or how long ago some other race, some humanoid race, their societal evolution still led to the point where a cape signifies authority.
That's because somehow capes are awesome. That's why.
I know, objectively and by natural law, it's not just some opinion that we humans came up with.
No, it's a galaxy-wide thing. I've also wondered why...
it's a universe-wide thing, because that was a different galaxy far away.
Yeah, a long, long time ago. Well, I've always thought the three travesties in fashion were the we no longer wear capes, we no longer wear riding boots, and we no longer wear gloves in, like, July.
I do like the glove idea, and I'm okay with the cape idea. It seems like it would be hot.
Well, you know, you wouldn't wear it in July. You'd have, like, your like, summer cape. It would be cool.
Summer cape.
Your summer cape would have, like, the material that your pillowcase is made out of.
Or it'd be fishnet.
Ooh, wait.
My fishnet cape.
That's right.
It would be linen. You know, if I ever live in a hot climate, here's how you'll know. We'll be recording this show, and I'll be wearing white linen and flip-flops.
You'd be like a rapper, in other words, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And a cape. And a linen cape. All right, so that's Rogue One. Looks like it's what? Thumbs up, thumbs down? You're not going to watch it?
No, I won't go see it in the theaters probably because I'm still hesitant because I'm like, all right, so now the main, not for the sexist reasons that you might think, but I'm like, because my sexism is on a whole different level. The main character is a female by the look of the trailer. Didn't we just do that?
Well, not only did we just do that, but one of the major supporting characters was of color.
Yes, this is true.
I was gonna say African American, but
now he would be...
America didn't exist yet. Neither did Africa, but at that point, if it was that long ago. Africa might have existed, but probably didn't call it Africa.
I think there was like the monolith was probably standing there on the plains, and the monkeys were touching it at that point in the Star Wars.
So he wasn't really African American. He was more, what would you call him? He was one of the of a dark skinned race.
Yes, he was a stormtrooper of color.
Well, that's a question I had.
Hmm.
I thought I was paying attention during some of the prequels,
mm-hmm.
and I thought we learned that the stormtroopers were all clones of Boba Fett.
No, you mean Baba Black Sheep? No. In the there's a real quick moment of dialogue where they talk about how they're gonna something like,
we're going to make a few off of Billy Dee Williams.
Well,
we got Boba Fett, and then we're going to do...
This is Lando we're talking about. He probably knocked up, like, who knows how many women in the galaxy.
And clones.
His station is now the ultimate power in the galaxy.
Mr. Calrissian, we will need some of your DNA because we want to create 1,000 clones to use as stormtroopers.
Said, damn, I got 1,000 kids.
That's right.
Why don't you just take them? You don't need to clone.
The first couple didn't get no support. These ain't going to get support.
Yeah, they might as well join the service.
He's like, why do you think I own Cloud City? I got to pay a lot of support.
Let them join the army. I don't care.
That's right.
One less mouth to feed. Anyway, go on. So it has nothing to do with Lando
Calrissian. There's a moment in there. There's a moment in there.
We're fucking couple of racists. I hate us.
I know. The racism on this show just sickens me. No, there's a moment where Kylo is talking to the ginger general, and he's talking about going back to using clones or something like that. And then they mention that now what happens is, like, human or whatever they are, humanoids, are taken away from at birth and essentially Clockwork Oranged to the point where they become stormtroopers.
Okay.
So, yeah. Thus fixing that whole problem, because that was never supposed to even be a thing. That somehow ended up in the prequels. That was just something that some witty some cool dialogue about the Clone Wars in the first Star Wars movies that was like a cool, backstory. And then they just ran with it. And then, like, anytime they run with something, they run it into the ground. So they just got rid of all that for these
movies. So all the stormtroopers weren't supposed to be, originally, they weren't supposed to be all clones.
Right, right. Okay.
Well, but it did provide for a good joke with us.
Mr. Calrissian, we're going to need some of your DNA to make some clones.
He's like,
shit.
That's not a problem.
I'll deposit my own DNA.
That's not a problem.
You provide the eggs, I'll provide the DNA own way.
You provide the Colt 45, it'll work every time.
It'll work every time. You line them up, I'll knock them down.
That's right.
All right. So what else, what other movies you been seeing?
Well, I got one that you didn't like that I actually really, really, really liked. I really liked Interstellar.
There you go. A
lot of reasons. All the way up to the last few minutes of the movie.
And he said, all right. <He's> like, I'm back in time.
That's right.
I'm in my library.
Right, right.
Pushing books off. All right.
The movie, okay, for the, it tried a little too hard to be 2001, right down to the music. There were moments where, like, I swore I heard, you know, Thus Spoke Zarathustra. You know, I'm like, wait a minute. Yeah. They're trying real hard to make 2001. But I let it go because I was entertained, and it took me like 2 days to watch it because it's like 3 hours long. But
yeah, it's a pretty long movie.
I let it go because I like where science fiction goes beyond our perceptions. And I bought that. I bought the whole time loop, and I bought all that, and I enjoyed a lot of it. And I hate, what's her name, Anne Hathaway. She's a terrible actress. Mm-hmm. Matthew McConaughey, terrible actor. But he's good at some things. But what the only thing that bothered me was, regardless of how far along they were designing that space station on Earth, there is no fucking way in, like, say, 50 years between when the his daughter was the scientist to when she was laying in the hospital bed, there's no fucking way in those 50 years that they could build a satellite that goddamn big. It's impossible. Other than that, I loved the movie. I thought it was really good. I enjoyed it a lot.
Well, maybe I should watch it again. Maybe I was in the wrong frame of mind.
You know, that's the way I am with movies. I have to be in a good frame of mind to just sit down and, like, otherwise I get, like, real critical and just rip shit to shreds. Yeah. But I went into this movie because I'm like, for a long time, like, nah, Steve. Because I'm on Hulu. No, Steve hated that movie, so I'm going to bypass that movie. And then I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to watch it. And I really enjoyed it. I'm like, I'm thinking, was it a book? I got to find out if it's a book, but I, you know. But then I was cool with the whole, for me, it wasn't just me, or did the robots look like Minecraft characters? They kind of had that, like, boxy, yeah, walky thing. I'm like, what is that? And then why did they look like, and they even look like a monolith. I'm like, I was instantly trying to tear it apart. I'm like, you're just doing 2001. And they really did. I mean, it kind of really just was. But then in the end, I'm like, and this is actually kind of fun because, like I said, I like it when they go beyond, like, when hard science fiction turns into, like, you know, because I'm a big fan of, you know, what the mind is capable of and how far it can go and things like that. But when they're sitting on that fucking satellite, I'm like, my bullshit gauntlet just went down. I'm like, I'm going to pretend the ending didn't happen that way. Because I like so much of the movie that I'm like, I'm not going to let that little bit of an ending bother me. It's like, just end. It's like, there were like two or three points where I'm like, just end. Stop.
Just end it now.
20 minutes later,
well, a
stop.
Lot of movies do have that problem where they don't know when to just stop.
Right.
It's like, no one to stop selling.
Right. Right. Well, sold it. No, like, stop. The one, there was a painter, I forget which one it was, but their quote was, like, a painting is never finished. You just find an interesting place to stop. Well, there were several interesting places in Interstellar where they could have stopped.
Yeah.
But they just kept, and then it kind of waned, and I'm like, no, let it go. So I liked 98% of that movie. I'm not going to, like, let that last 2% ruin it for me. So
yeah,
I enjoyed it. Go watch it again and let me know what you think. Plus, I love,
next time I have 3 hours.
Right. Well, do what I did. I had to watch it in 2 days.
I wish I had a self-driving car. I could watch it on my way to and from work.
Well, those are right around the corner.
Yeah, they are.
So they're, there's not,
that. Not close enough. My liking.
Welcome to voice print identification. When you see the red light go on, would you please state in the following order: your destination, your nationality, and your full name.
Moon, American, Floyd, Haywood R.
Thank you. You are cleared through voice print identification.
Thank you.
Quite frankly, we have had some very reliable intelligence reports that quite a serious epidemic has broken out into Clavis.
I know there have been some conflicting views held by some of you regarding the need for complete security.
Something apparently of an unknown origin.
However, I accept the need for absolute secrecy in this.
This is in fact what has happened. I'm really not at liberty to discuss this.
We thought it might be the upper part of some buried structure, so we excavated out on all sides, but unfortunately we didn't find anything else.
And hasn't been covered up by natural erosion or other forces. It seems to have been deliberately buried.
4 million-year-old black monolith has remained completely inert, except for a single, very powerful, radio emission.
3 weeks ago, the American spacecraft Discovery 1 left on its 500 million-mile voyage to Jupiter.
The sixth member of the Discovery crew was the HAL-9000 computer.
Everything is going extremely well.
One gets the sense that he is capable of emotional responses.
Well, hell, I'm dead if I'm not even over.
No 9000 computer has ever made a mistake or distorted information.
But, Dave, I can't put my finger on it, but I sense something strange about it.
Just a moment.
Do you know what happened?
I'm sorry, Dave. I don't have enough information.
Made radio contact with him yet?
The radio is still there.
Hello, Hal. Do you read me? Hello, Hal. Do you read me? Do you read me, Hal?
Do you read me, Hal?
This mission is too important for me to allow you to jeopardize it.
I don't know what you're talking about, Hal.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore.
Channel Marge.
Yeah, I've been throwing down on some podcasts though.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I almost always listen to ours.
Well, oh yeah, almost always.
This is the year podcasting is gonna explode. You know that, right?
And we're gonna be right there. We're gonna be hanging 10. Our toes are gonna be hanging on that board as we.
That's right.
Ride that wave.
That's right. What other movies?
Well, I got one more that yeah. I think I went in, this was another one I'm like, this movie's gonna suck balls, and not even in a good way. But I reached a point where I go, fuck it, I'm gonna tear it apart. And I could not tear this movie apart. If you burned out on zombies, and I am, which is why I didn't watch this movie up until just recently. Check out Maggie with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Maggie?
Yes. It's a different take on zombies. It's probably... Okay, Arnold's like 90. So he kind of lumbers through his role like he does in all of his movies lately. But... he doesn't deliver a bad performance in this movie.
Huh.
And the movie, it's really good. It's probably the best movie he's made in... I really like The Last Stand. I loved that movie.
I got to see that movie. You mentioned that before.
It was so much fun. And I'm like, then there was The Last Stand, and prior to that was Eraser, maybe? Was kind of good. And that was like 20 plus years ago. This is probably the best movie he's made in years. And it's
Get your ass to Mars.
Well, that's the beauty of it. It's not a typical Arnold movie. It's almost like, I don't know how he ended up as the starring role, but you know, it was fun watching him. But there were scenes where like I'm sitting here like saying dialogue from like his movies. There'd be like a real sensitive, touching scene, and I'll like yell out like, "Give the people the air," you know, just dumb things like that.
Get to the chopper.
But no, I really thought it was. I mean, it's a zombie movie. Basically, I won't ruin it for you, but it's like, okay, you're a family man. I'm a family man. How far would you be willing to go if one of your kids became infected? That's what this movie's about.
Okay, fantastic. Well, that's three movies you guys can go see. Force Awakens, Maggie, and Interstellar, and then let us know what you think. We love all the comments and stuff that we get. Keep them coming.
I would seriously like somebody to disagree with me on either one of those, either Interstellar or Maggie, because I think they're great, and I would love to hear somebody else's opinion on them, good or bad.
Okay. Other than movies, have you heard any good jokes lately?
Well, as a matter of fact, I have. This one is actually an Arlo original. How many tickles does it take to make an octopus laugh?
I don't know. How many?
10 tickles.
Oh! Good one.
I know, right? It just hit me just right, and I was just floored. I'm like, God, that's funny.
That's funny. That's better than Hillary Clinton's racist joke.
What's Hillary Clinton's racist joke?
Well, she was with the mayor of New York, de Blasio,
mm-hmm.
and he endorsed her for president. Big surprise.
Yeah.
And she said, took you long enough. And he goes, well, you know, I was on CP time. Which, you know, means, you know what that means, right? CP time?
No, what does it mean?
Color people time.
I know. I was fucking with you.
Okay. And so there's a black dude on stage mm-hmm. when he says this. And he goes, oh, I don't really like. What are you doing? I don't really like jokes. That's not funny. And Hillary turns to that guy and goes, oh, well, he means cautious politician time. And it's just so bad on so many levels.
Dude, that's not even funny, because that's a tell. That's a dead fucking giveaway to her own her own agenda.
Yeah. Well,
that must be why the antithesis of that. That must be why suddenly there's the Bernie Sanders shaking the black guy's hand. You know, have you seen that? And they slow it down. It's like it's like a football play by play. Well, here he shakes his hand like a white guy, and then spins the thumb around, and it's like, and so that's only been recently. So they're probably like in rebuttal to the Hillary Clinton debacle. Like, Bernie Sanders is black.
Stuff like that. I mean, I'm nothing if not a guy that has plenty of humor and bad taste,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm all about the bad taste humor. But there's something offensive to me about that joke, not on a racial level, but just on how bad it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not... Okay, first of all, in her defense and in Mayor de Blasio's defense and everybody's defense... I think we're all just a little too sensitive these days.
Way too sensitive.
I, having gone through the struggle myself with a African-American mom.
That's right.
I don't think I can really relate to the plight of the black man, because I'm not black myself, even if I'm half black.
Which half?
The good half.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I can't really say. I mean, how offended would I be? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'd be offended at that kind of joke. Okay, for one thing, though, I mean, it's a funny thing that they talk about, because black people, if you ever talk to a black person, they're like, oh, yeah, we're always late to everything. We call it color people time, you know,
right.
CP time.
Right.
You know? It's like, yeah, that's funny, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, fine. I'm not going to fault Hillary Clinton for making a joke, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was not funny. It flopped. It was bad, right? What I will fault her and the other dude for, though, is if is just, and I don't even want to call it hypocrisy because that word's been overused. Hypocrisy's jumped the shark. The word hypocrisy's jumped the shark. But just, okay, I'll let you make your little CP time joke if you'll shut the fuck up about everybody else's insensitivity.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
If you'll shut the fuck up every time somebody criticizes Barack Obama and you call him a racist, then I won't pick on you over your CP time joke.
Right.
How's that? Is that a deal?
I don't think they're going to take that deal.
Or we can all just lose our minds over every little thing. All right, man. Doing Indie Radio Hour is next. Speaking of the great one, the great MP and Tolan, whose name spelled backwards sounds like a, what did I say? Like a nighttime cold
remedy? Like a nighttime cold remedy.
Tolan. Nylot PM.
Nylot PM. That's what it was.
Nylot PM. So, for your dose of Nylot PM, stick around. Don't you click.
It won't put you to sleep.
Yeah, let us put you to sleep. For Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Benson. Nothing you just heard was true.
Get to the chopper!
Where we are.
His High Exaltedness, the great Jabba the Hutt, has decreed that you are to be terminated immediately.
Good, I hate long waits.
You will therefore be taken to the Dune Sea and cast to the Pit of Karkoon, the nesting place of the all-powerful Sarlacc.
Doesn't sound so bad.
In his belly, you will find a new definition of pain and suffering as you are slowly digested over 1,000